Okay, so in Parshas Vayigash, after Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, the pasuk states, "Vayipol al tzavrei Binyamin achiv, vayif v'Binyamin b'cha al tzavarav, vayinashak l'kol achav, vayif aleihem v'achari kein dibru achav oso." That basically, Yosef, you imagine the scene. He reveals himself. He embraces his brother Binyamin, and he falls upon his neck, and he cries. And Binyamin cries upon Yosef's neck. And then he goes and he kisses all of his brothers and he cries upon them. And afterwards, his brothers speak to him. And Rashi there comments, "Vayipol al tzavrei Binyamin achiv vayif," that he fell on his brother's neck and he started to cry. Why was Yosef crying? "Al shnei mikdashot sha'asi din lihiot b'chalko shel Binyamin v'sofo lihicharev." He was crying because he saw that in the future there would be two Mikdasho, two Beis HaMikdash that would be in the chiluk, in the portion of Binyamin that would eventually be destroyed. "Ubinyamin b'cha al tzavarav," and Binyamin cried on Yosef's shoulders, "Al mishkan shilo sha'asid liyot b'chalko shel Yosef v'sova licharev." And Binyamin is crying on Yosef's neck because he saw that in Yosef's portion there would be the mishkan of Shiloh, and that also would eventually be destroyed. You know, so at first glance, Yosef and Binyamin's tears over the destruction and the Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan seems surprising. You know, after all, these two brothers, Rachel's only sons, they have not seen each other in 22 years. You would have thought after such a long, prolonged separation, they would have rejoiced, right? And they would have begun telling each other, oh, you know what happened? All catching each other up on all the things that had happened in their lives in the past 22 years since they had last seen each other. And instead, they wept over the destruction of the Batei Mikdashos that were in each other's portions, in each other's land. And in order to understand this, we have to begin with the explanation of the Ksav Sofer. Just a means of introduction, you know, most of this basic Mahalach is all based on the ideas of someone we quote very often, the Shvile Pinchas. We've quoted him a lot in this class. So in order to understand this, we're going to go start with the Ksav Sofer. And we know that the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash was caused by Sinas Chinam. The Gemara in Yuma, Tes Amud Bet, tells us, Mikdash Rishon Mipnei Macharav. Why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Mipnei Shlosha Dvarim Shayubo. Because of three cardinal sins. Avodah Zarah, Giloy Arayos, V'Shvichos Damim. Idol worship, you know, illicit relationships, and killing. But on the other hand, we have the second Beis HaMikdash, and they were involved in Torah and Gemilas Chasadim and Mitzvos. Why was it destroyed? Because why? They had Sinas Chinam. They had baseless hatred. While they were involved in Torah and Mitzvos and all these good things, they had Sinas Chinam. Lamdecha Sheshkula Sinas Chinam Kineged Shalosh Averos Avodah Zarah Gilorayos Ushichas Damim. And we see how severe Sinas Chinam is, that it's equal to the three cardinal sins. And it appears that Mechiras Yosef was actually based on Sinas Chinam. The Pasuk in Bereishis, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Dalel, tells us, V'Yisrael Ahav Es Yosef Mikol Banav Ki Ben Zkunim Hulo. That Yaakov loved Yosef more than the other brothers. V'aselok tonat pasim, and he made him this special garment. V'ayiru achav ki oso ahav avihem mikol achav. And his brothers saw that he had this preferential treatment. V'yisnu oto v'lo yichlu l'dibru l'shalom. And they hated him for this. And they couldn't speak to him, you know, in peace. And perhaps we can suggest that it was in this merit that the sanctuaries were built in the portions of Yosef and Binyamin, because they were the only two Shvatim that were not involved in the brothers' hatred that resulted in the sale of Yosef, that resulted in Mechiras Yosef. They were the only two not involved in the Sinas Chinam, and thus they merited that the Batei Mikdash, the Mishkan, would be built in their portions. And it's based on this that Ksav Sofer writes that after the sale of Yosef comes full circle, and Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, it's revealed to Yosef and Binyamin from above that due to the lack of sinah between them, due to the lack of hatred between them, the Batei Mikdash would be built in their portions, which they understood would ultimately be destroyed as a result of Sinas Chinam. They therefore cried specifically now for the Chorban, the destruction that was caused by the Sinas Chinam. Therefore, the Pasuk says regarding Yosef, Yosef cried upon the realization that the Batei Mikdash would be destroyed on account of the chayt of Mechiras Yosef. And we see this idea of the Ksav Sofer in the Medrash. The Yachat Shimoni in Mishlei writes, Amar Rav Yehuda, lo nimsiru harugin l'malchus, ela al mechirato shel Yosef. Amar Rav Avin, hare omer asara kol dor, v'adayin chayt saloi. Rav Yehuda teaches us that the 10 martyrs, the Asara Haruge Malchus, were condemned to death. Why? Because of the chayt of Mechiras Yosef. And Rabbi Avin adds that 10 are killed in every generation to pay for that sin. And we are still accountable for that sin today. We had the 10 Shvatim that sinned in Mechiras Yosef. And so therefore, we had these 10 illustrious scholars that were killed and tortured on account of their sin. And in every generation, we still have the Asara Harugim, these 10 that are killed in every generation on the account of the sin of Mechiras Yosef that's still not fixed, that we're still perpetrating till today. And the Medrash is teaching us something critical, that we have to learn from Mechiras Yosef the importance of loving a fellow Jew. But as long as we continue, Chas V'Shalom, to hate one another, we're held accountable for the sin of Mechiras Yosef in every generation since, and instilled to this generation today. Furthermore, the Zohar writes that the sin of Sinas Chinam awakened the sin of Mechiras Yosef, which caused us to fall into the hands of Edom, who hates Bnei Yisrael with the Sinas Chinam. Edom hates us with this baseless hatred. And the Zohar writes, Garam chova de Sinas Chinam v'tar ha'yi Sinas Chinam t'kad misa ha'dahu d'chtiv v'yisnu osav la'hu ha'tzadik. Because of the Sinas Chinam that we had, Edom, who's Esav, comes, and is successful and can wage war and battle against us and win over us, who also hates us with the Sinas Chinam. Like the Pasuk in Yechezkel says, because you have eternal hatred, Esav, to Bnei Yisrael, you have caused the blood of the children to stream forth by the sword at the moment of the disaster. Because of Esav's hatred, he comes out against us, and it's because of our hatred amongst each other that we empower Esav to be able to fight against us. We know, Halacha biyadua she'Esav soneis Yaakov. It's a known fact that Esav hates Yaakov. And the Divrei of Yisrael of Majid quotes Arav HaKadosh Rav Yechezkel miKazmir, and he adds so beautifully to the idea of the Ksav Sofer. He says that Yosef and Binyamin cried over the destruction of the Batei Mikdash because they understood through Ruach HaKodesh that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, which originated from Mechiras Yosef, from the sale of Yosef. He adds, however, that each one cried on behalf of the other because they wanted to prepare the tikkun for Sinas Chinam, right? They're not just crying because the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Yosef would then cry because of the Mishkan Shiloh that would be destroyed in his Nachla. And Binyamin would cry because of the two Batei Mikdash that would be destroyed in his Nachla. But no, what are they crying over? Yosef is crying over what's going to happen in Binyamin's Nachla. And Binyamin's crying because of what's going to happen in Yosef's Nachla. They're crying for each other, because they're preparing the tikkun, the rectification for this sin of Sinas Chinam, of hating each other. They're crying because of the other one's sorrows, the things that are going to happen in their territory, not because of their own things. Yosef cried, Al Shnei Mikdashot She'asid in Liyot B'chalko Shel Binyamin V'Sof Alich Harev. And Binyamin cried, Al Mishkan Shilos She'asid Liyot B'chalko Shel Yosef V'Sof Alich Harev. And their crying paved the way for all of Bnei Yisrael to love their fellow Jew, to share in their pain and in their sorrow, and rejoice in their good fortune and happiness. And I even saw, if you think about it like this, when you think about Yosef, Binyamin, when Yosef's Mikdash was destroyed, it allowed for the next Mikdash to be built in his territory. which on one hand could have given him a little bit of a boost, right? Oh, it's my territory. But no, I can't benefit from your loss. And so even more so, Binyamin is crying over Yosef, and Yosef's crying over Binyamin. They're crying because of the destruction, and they're paving the way for us to fix that destruction that was started through Sinas Chinam, through Mechias Yosef, through Avas Chinam, through loving each other. We can add to this, to what the Divrei Yisrael says later in the Parsha, also in the name of Yecheskel of Kazmir. After Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, he says, Vayomar Alehem, Al Tirgazu Baderech. Yosef says to them, he advises them, you know, don't tarry on the way back to your father. Don't become agitated on the way. Go back, you know, go quickly. And there, the Divrei Yisrael writes, Perush Al Tirgazu Baderech, Rotzon Olamar, Baderech HaChasidus. On the Pshat level, we explain it on the way back to to Yaakov, to our father. But he explains it, no, in the Darchei Chasidus, in the way of piety. When you serve God on your own path, but you see, hey, wait a second, he's Jewish, but he's not worshiping God in the same way that I'm worshiping him. He's not serving God in the same way. Al tir gaz alehem, elav. Don't become agitated or upset with him. Ki harbei drachim yesh ba'avodas habori yiparach shemo. Because there are many ways and paths to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Divrei Yecheskel, the Divrei Yisrael explains, quoting Rabbi Yecheskel, that there are many different ways and methods of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you see your fellow Jew does not serve in the same way that you're doing it, you shouldn't become annoyed with him. And this was Yosef's warning to his brothers. You know, Rebbe Zinhaler always talks about this. She gives such a good example. You know, she says, you're at the Kotel, and you know, there's all different types of Jews at the Kotel. And, you know, there's a guy with long hair, and you say, hey, brother, you know, or someone who's totally unaffiliated, you say, come, let's enjoy a Shabbos meal. You know, come, I want to expose you to the beauty of Torah and mitzvot. But there's another person at the Kotel, you know, and she covers her hair, but maybe she doesn't cover it in the same way as you. Or he's from and he's wearing a yarmulke, but maybe it's not the same type of yarmulke that you wear. And oh, I can't invite this person to my house. Maybe he'll influence my children. Maybe I don't know what happened. I have no problem bringing in someone who's, you know, totally removed. But when someone comes close to me, then all of a sudden I have reservations and we say, oh, I don't want the influence and this and that. But really, well, when you think about it, it's because we feel challenged that their path in Avodas Hashem is different than our path. And therefore, you know, subconsciously we feel uncomfortable inviting them over because, you know, they're doing Judaism differently than we're doing it. And this is exactly what the Divrei Yisrael is telling us, that there are many different ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and don't become agitated or annoyed with a fellow Jew who's serving God in a different way than you. Obviously, as long as it's within the, you know, a legitimate and appropriate derech in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Divrei Yisrael continues to explain why specifically now does Yosef warn his brothers about this. And he writes, Va'enyan mar shera'a al kachal lazhiro sam al zeh yesh lamar. He says, you know, why is Yosef specifically warning them right now about this? Ki machlokas hashvatim em Yosef ad shemachruhu bevadai lo hisa machlokas bedvarim gashmiim. He says, you know, the reason why the brothers sold Yosef wasn't over some physical, you know, gashmiastika dispute. Obviously not. Rak b'darchei achasidus kemuvan. Rather, in the ways of piety, ways that they worshipped HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lefichach hizhiro tamachshav. Therefore, specifically now, Yosef is warning them. Sha'al yirgizu o b'darchei achasidus shalahem. Rak yavinu sheyesh harbei drachim ba'avodas habor v'akol ole b'kana achad. That they should realize that there's a lot of ways in which to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's all going towards the same thing. It's all stemming off one branch. Because what was the dispute between Yosef and his brothers? It was in Darchei Chasidus. It was in how to go about things and how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was their dispute. And therefore, right now, when he reveals himself, he's saying, you can't have that approach. You have to realize there's a lot of ways, and you can't get annoyed with a fellow Jew for serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different way, because really, we're all serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all towards the same purpose. And Yosef warns them precisely at this moment because he perceived by means of Ruach HaKodesh that the Batei Mikdash were destined to be destroyed as a result of Sinas Chinam, of baseless hatred. One of the factors causing Sinas Chinam, you know, as we witness All too often is a person's difficulty accepting his fellow Jews' method of serving Hashem when it deviates from his own. And therefore, Yosef warns his brothers, you know, as well as their descendants. And he says, Al tirgazu b'derech. Don't become agitated on the way. If you want to fix the sinas chinam, which led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and you want to bring the geula, don't become zealous because of your brother's avodas Hashem. Don't become agitated or upset by his method of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, learn to accept him and his Torah lovingly. Know that we are all serving the same God, and we all have our own unique way of serving him.
I see that discrepancy between the brothers. That wasn't the reason, you know, that they worshipped Hashem in different ways or something, you know.
It was
just plain jealousy, you know.
Okay, so obviously, we always say Elu ve'Elu. There's a lot of different interpretations, but yeah, there are those who interpreted it. In fact, one of the things that was said that Yosef brought, you know, these ill reports to his father was about different things that he perceived it, that it was, you know, they were eating Aver Menachai, they were doing certain things, and in their opinion, they were not doing those types of things. So, you know, that's one example. But even in their way, which was actually a shir we had way back when, they sold Yosef for a pair of shoes and what that represented, and the difference in their services of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So, you know, we have to know that we're all serving the same God and we all have our own unique way of serving him. And it was the crying of Yosef and Binyamin which paved the way for the Avas Achim, for the brotherly love. And the Medrash in Psicha of Echa tells us that at the time of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, we had Avram, we had Yitzchak, we had Yaakov, we had Moshe Rabbeinu. They all came to pray and to beg before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy. But Hashem didn't respond to their cries until Rachel Imenu came. And the Medrash says, Ba'osasha'a kafta Rachel Imenu l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'amra. After all the Avos and Moshe Rabbeinu came and tried to intercede on behalf of Bnei Yisrael, Rachel Imenu jumped before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and she said, Ribono shel olam, galoi lefanecha sheyakov avdecha ahavani ava yisera ve'avad b'shvili la'aba sheva shanim. You know that Yaakov, your servant, he loved me, a special love, an additional love, and he worked for me for my father for 7 years. Ukshe hishlimu osan sheva shanim v'igaz man nisui lavali. And when the 7 years came to an end and it was my turn, my time to marry him, my father decided, ooh, let me switch Racha for Leah. Let me switch the sisters. And this was so difficult for me because I found out about my father's plan. Asi Lavali, Umasarti Lo Siman, and then I went to my husband, I went to Yaakov, and I told him of my father's plan, and so we made some sort of sign, some sort of symbol between us, Sheyakir Beinu Bein Achoti, that he would be able to differentiate between me and my sister. Kedei Shelo Yuchal Avi Lach Lifeinu, so that my father should not be able to switch me, that he shouldn't be able to trick Yaakov. Ulachar Kein Nichamti Ba'atzmi V'Savalti Et Ha'avati V'Richanti Al Chotai Shelo Tetzei L'Cherpa. But afterwards, you know, I changed my mind. I felt so terrible, you know, and I controlled my desires to get married, and I had rachmanis, I had pity on my sister, that she shouldn't be embarrassed. And that night, my father switched me and my sister. And I gave over all the signs, all the symbols that I made up with Yaakov, that he should think that she's me. Rachel, the lo od, not only that, Ela shenichnasti tachas hamita, I went in under their bed, v'ayamata berima, v'hisho teket, and he would talk to her, and she would be quiet, v'ani mishivo, and I was the one who answered him, al kol davar v'davar, kedei shelo yakir l'kol achalti, I answered everything he asked, every conversation, so that he shouldn't recognize my sister's voice, v'gamalti chesedima, v'lo kanesiba, v'lo hoti tel l'charpa. And I gave her this great chesed. I bestowed upon her this unbelievable kindness. And I wasn't jealous of her. And I didn't allow her to be embarrassed. Umani shani basar v'dam afar v'efer. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu, what am I? I'm afar v'efer. I'm a human being. I'm not more than dust and earth. I'm nothing. Lo kanesi letzara shali. V'lo atzisiha levusha lecharpa. I wasn't jealous of my rival. We call it Sarah, another wife. And I didn't allow her to be, I didn't take her out and allow her to be embarrassed and disgraced. But you, O eternal King, Rahman, who's a merciful one, how could you possibly be jealous of idolatry, of worshiping, you know, silliness that has no substance? And you allowed them, my children, to be exiled and killed, and allowed their enemies to do what they pleased. Miyad, right away, immediately. Niskagalu rachamav shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu's mercy was aroused. Va'amar b'shvilech Rachel ani machzir Yisrael lemekomam. Because of you, Rachel, I'm going to return Bnei Yisrael to their place, to their previous status, to their grandeur. Hadahu dichtiv, like the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Kol berama nishma, a voice on high is heard, Nichi b'chi tamarim, a voice of crying, Rachel mevaka albana, me'en alihi nachim, albana haki eneinu. Rachel is inconsolable because her children are not with her. The ksiv ko amar Hashem, and the pasuk continues, so says Hashem to Rachel, Mini kolech mivechi ve'inayach midima. Don't cry. Hold back your tears. Ki yesh sachar lefulaseich. There is reward for your actions. V'yesh tikva la'achriseich. There is hope for the future. Nom Hashem. So says Hashem. V'shavu banim legvulam. Your children will once again return to their boundaries. We see the unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh that Rachel was able to give over of herself and of her place and of her lot in life. You know, that her husband had worked for 7 years for her and she knew of her father's plan, and yet she went against her own desires that she should be able to marry her beloved and allowed her sister to go in her place. We see at this, from this medrash, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so moved by Rachel's altruistic deeds, so much so that he promises v'shavu banim legvulam, that her children will be redeemed and will return to their land. And we know, based on the Gemara that we have already mentioned, that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Why? Because of Sinas Chinam, and that the tikkun, the rectification, will come from Avas Chinam, from loving one's fellow Jew selflessly, whatever the circumstances. We cannot even begin to describe the degree of selflessness and tremendous midos demonstrated by Rachel Imeinu. It would have only been natural for her to reveal the truth to Yaakov. Nevertheless, she remained silent and did not reveal her father's deceit. She took it, and not only that, she took it one step further and remained hiding in the very same room with Rachel, with Yaakov and Leah, so that when Yaakov would ask Leah for the signals to verify that she was indeed Rachel, Rachel would respond to his inquiries with her own voice so as not to embarrass her sister Leah. And only this form of selfless love, as displayed by Rachel Imeinu, possesses the power to shatter the iron curtains of exile that resulted from the Sinas Chinam in Klal Yisrael. Therefore, when the Avos HaKadoshim and Moshe Rabbeinu were unsuccessful in arousing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy, Rachel prevailed. As soon as Rachel appeared, Miyad Niskal Gilu Rachamav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Va'amar, B'shvilech Rachel Ani Machzir Yisrael Mekomam. Immediately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy was aroused, and he said, for you, Rachel, for what you did, for your selfless love for your sister, I am going to return Bnei Yisrael to their boundaries, to their place. And it was Yosef and Binyamin who followed in their mother's footsteps, exemplifying Avas Chinam, as they cried, they each cried over the pain and the destruction that it would occur to their brother, thus beginning the tikkun, the rectification for the Sinas Chinam, for the baseless hatred. It was their mother Rachel who set the standards for us to love one's fellow Jew without personal reservations. It is these three, Rachel, Yosef, and Binyamin, who illuminate the way to remedy the tragic flaw of Sinas Chinam, which led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's through following in their footsteps that we can hasten the Geula and the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. And it's based on this that we can understand what Chazal say, B'sikta D'Rav Kahana, Agada Shehi, Agadahi, she'ein is our oshal Esav nofel, ele biyad banash al racha. Esav's descendants will only be defeated by who? By Rachel's children. Similarly, the Psikta Rabasi explains, Kevan shem melech malach Shaul amar kadosh baruch hu ein zarosh alamalek nofel ela biyad banah shel Rachel. When Shaul became king, Hashem proclaimed that the descendants of Amalek will only be defeated by Rachel's children. And Amalek, who's a descendant of Esav, would fall in the hands of Shaul HaMelech, who's a descendant of Binyamin. And why is it specific? Why is it that the downfall of Esav's descendants is specifically at the hands of Rachel's children? And the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Rabat shachna la nafshi im sonei shalom. Long has my soul dwelled with those who hate peace. And the Medrash Tehillim asks, V'chi yesh adam sonei shalom? Is there a person, is there a man who hates peace? Esav sonei hashalom. Esav hates peace. V'kein hu omer. The Pasuk in Vayikra says, V'natati shalom ba'aretz. I will give peace in the land. Emasai yiyya. Kein, when will this be? V'eshati chayara amina aretz. I will cause, Hashem says, the wild beasts to withdraw from the land. Ve'ein chayera'a ela chazir. And what's the chayera'a? What's this wild beast? The chazir, the pig. Shene'amar, like the Pasuk in Tehillim says, yekar simena chazir mi'ar, ze Esav harasha. The boar of the forest ravages it. This, we know the chazir is Esav harasha. And the Chasam Sofer writes in Parshas Toldos, ki Esav, the letters ayin, sin, vav, bigamatria, shalom, Bituma, Alkei Nikra Sone Shalom. Esav in Gematria is Shalom. Obviously not the nice form of peace that we know it, but the Tuma. We know that everything in the world has two capabilities, for the good and for the bad. So he's the impure side of Shalom. The numerical value of Esav is the same as the word Shalom, which is 376. Because he embodies the negative, the impure aspect of Shalom. Hence, he is referred to as the hater of peace, the Sonei Shalom. We see that Esav stands diametrically opposed to the Shalom and to the unity of Bnei Yisrael. And it is precisely when there is a lack of peace and unity among Klal Yisrael that Esav is empowered and was therefore able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and exile Bnei Yisrael. And it's with this that we can understand Agadahi She'ein Zaro Shel Esav Nofel Ela Biyad Banah Shel Rachel. That it's only Esav will only fall in the hands of the descendants of Rachel. Because the two children of Rachel, Yosef and Binyamin, had no part whatsoever in the sinas achim, the hatred of the brothers. Not only that, but they paved the way for the avas achim, for the brotherly love, by each crying over the on the other's shoulders over the destruction that would occur in the other's nachla. Therefore, they have the ability to submit and to fight against Esav. We find a similar idea in the Medrash in Yalkut Shimoni by the beginning of Parshas Shoftim. The Medrash says, "Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Misorish Agadahi Biadenu She'ein Esav Nofel Ela Biyabana Shel Rachel." We have this tradition that Esav will only fall in the hands of the children of Rachel. Lama She'im Ba'im Hashvatim Ladin Im Esav Lamarlo. So, why? Because let's say the Shvatim have this judgment. They have a powwow with Esav, and they say to him, "Lama radafta et achecha? Why did you run after? Why did you try to kill your brother? You know, why did you try to harm your brother Yaakov?" Hu omer lahem. So Esav will respond to the Shvatim, "Lama radafta et Yosef achicham? Ve'encha mo'ilim mimeni?" He said, "Wait a sec." Esav's going to respond to them, "Wait a second, guys. What, you ran after, you harmed your brother Yosef. Why are you any better than me?" V'kevan shehu ba etel Yosef, omer lo le'esav lama radafta erachecha ve'eno yechol hashivo. But when Yosef comes to Esav and he asks Esav the question, you know, why did you run after your brother Yaakov? Esav will not have anything to respond to Yosef. Im tomar she'asalacha Yaakov ra'a. Maybe if you say that Yaakov did something bad, you know, to you, perhaps you have a complaint against him because he took the brachos from you. Af achai shemuli ra'av ani shilamti lahem tova. My brothers also did something bad to me, but what did I do in response? I gave them good, right? When they sold him to Mitzrayim, they sold him as a slave. And what did he do when they came down to Mitzrayim for food? He took care of them. He sustained them. He gave them food. He's like, I did the opposite. You know, it's only someone who was not involved in sinas chinam and who lived in peace with his brothers who can combat, and you know, who can combat Esav, who stands against peace. It's therefore that Esav is specifically given over to the children of Rachel, who had no part in Mechiras Yosef. And it's with this that Rav Pinchas Friedman says we can understand the statement in the Gemara concerning the prophecy describing the future Geula. Quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Nun Dalet Yudbet, Samti Kad Kod Shamshu Saich. Right? We'll explain what that means. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Pligi Tre Malachi Barakia, Gavriel and Michal, Va'amri Le Tre Amore Bemarava, Umean Inon Yehuda Chizkia Bnei Rabbi Chia, Chad Amar Shoham, V'chad Amar Yishpe, Amar Laho HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'hayad Kedin V'Kedin. So the pasuk says in Yeshayahu concerning the future Geula, I will make your walls out of this stone called Kadkod. And so therefore there's this discussion, you know, what is Kadkod? There's, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani says there are two angels in heaven that are disputing this. We have Gavriel and Michael, and some say two Amoraim, who are also disputing this, you know, Yehuda and Chizkiah, the sons of Rabbi Chia. And one of them says, what is this Kadkod? What is this stone? One says it refers to Shoham, and the other says it refers to Yishpeh. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer? Hashem says, let it be both, like this one and like that one. You know? So how can we understand this puzzling Gemara? What is this stone that we're talking about in the future Geula? And why does what's the debate that it should be one of these two stones? And what's Hashem's response that it's either or, it could be both? So we can explain this by recalling that these two stones were the stones that were found on the Choshen, the stones found on the Kohen Gadol's breastplate. And what are these two stones associated with? Yosef and Binyamin, right? The Shoham corresponds to Yosef, and the stone of Yishpeh corresponds to Binyamin. And the Shvilei Pinchas writes, Me'ata yesh lomar ki b'chach nechalku Gavriel u'michal b'shamayim v'shnei ha'amorim ba'aretz. And this was the dispute that Michal and Gavriel had in the heavens, and the two Amoraim had on earth. Be'ezu z'chus ye'ir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael et or ha'shemesh shel ha'geula ha'sida. What is the merit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to illuminate and bring about the future Geula? B'schus Shoham, Shehi Avno Shel Yosef. Oh, B'schus Yishpeh, Shehi Avno Shel Binyamin. Is it going to be in the z'chus of the stone of the Shoham? Or in the z'chus of the Yishpeh, the Shoham being the stone of Yosef, or the Yishpeh being the stone of Binyamin? The Havayor Bazan, the explanation is, Ki Madrigato Shel Yosef Ba'avatol Achav Hayta Yoter Gdola Mishel Binyamin. Yosef's level of avas achim, of brotherly love, was greater than that of Binyamin. Ki hein emes Binyamin lo pagam klal ba'avas achim, aval hare achiv lo asu lo shum ra'a sheigrom lo lisno la'osam. Right? He said, you know, Binyamin didn't do anything to harm, you know, the brotherly love. But when you think about it, his brothers didn't really ever do anything to him that should cause him to hate them. Aval u'umat zeh Yosef atzadek shemachru achav l'mitzrayim v'im kol zos kilkel asachiv v'shileim lahem tova tachas ra. But Yosef, on the other hand, he had reason to hate his brothers. His brothers sold him down to Mitzrayim. They sold him into slavery. He had reason to have kindness against them. Look what you did to me. Not only did he not, what did he do? He sustained them during the famine. He gave them good despite the fact that they did to him bad. Madrigazu shel avas achim ein lemala mimena. There's no greater level of brotherly love. The fact that you can love your brother despite the fact that he hurt you, that he did something bad to you, there's nothing better than that. Ubekach nechalku malchei mala b'marom v'chachmei hator lamata. And this is the dispute that the malachim had above and the amorim had below. Chad amar shoham v'chad amar yishpeh. Some said, no, it's the z'chus of the shoham. You got to love each other like Yosef. And some said, no. Yishpeh, you got to love each other like Binyamin. Klomar, ha'im ha'gu'ula tavo dafka bebchinat shoham? Zahainu sheyu Yisrael b'madrigat Yosef HaTzadik? Is the gu'ula only going to come when we reach the level of Yosef HaTzadik? When we reach the level of shoham? When we can love each other even when our brothers may hurt us? Lehov avas Yisrael afilu kasher gamlu lo ra. Oh, shema afilu im lo yu Yisrael b'madrigat zu lehov gamosam shegamlu lahem ra. Eliyu b'madrigat binyamin b'bchinat yishpeh. But or maybe we don't all have to be on the level of Yosef that we can give good to, even to those who've done bad to us. We just need to be on the level of Yishpeh, of Binyamin, of just loving each other. She'ein lahem shum sinaskinam ela avas Yisrael. You know, that we don't hate each other. We just love each other. We have no reason to hate each other, but we don't. Sinaskinam, obviously, you don't need a reason to hate each other. It's baseless hatred. But, you know, just like Binyamin, nothing bad happens in Binyamin. He just loved his brothers. He didn't hate them at all. Hine gam zchus avazu yekrivu as ha-geula. You know, this also is a zchus. This also is a merit to hasten to bring about the geula. Vechriya HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaim? Lo kadin v'kidin. Let it be like this one, and let it be like that one. Sha-geula tavo b'zchus shnehem. Yachad. That the geula will come in the merit of both of them. Zahayinu sheyu Yisrael ma'atim madriga Yosef, v'ruba b'madriga binyamin. There will be some amongst Klal Yisrael who will be able to attain the level of Yosef, to love each other even though they may have done bad things to us, our brothers. But most of us will be on the level of binyamin, of this just loving each other. And it's because Yosef and Binyamin did not fall victim to the sin of sinas chinam, but rather became prototypes of brotherly love, that they will be able to submit Esav and bring about the Geula. But it's not just Yosef and Binyamin who are able to do this, but each one of us who learn from their example and from the great example of Mama Rachel, it is when we can show love and care and compassion despite the differences, or perhaps in spite of things that may have been done to us, we can light up the stones of the Yishpeh and the Shoham and bring the light of the Geula. And it's for this reason that we bless our children to be like Ephraim and Manasseh. The relationship of Ephraim and Manasseh had the potential for strife and hatred, right? Yaakov had placed his right hand on the head of the younger child, the younger son, Ephraim. He also put Ephraim's name first in the bracha. And although this could have caused Manasseh, the firstborn, to feel an animosity towards Ephraim, and it could have ruined their relationship, there remained a true camaraderie and love between them. And so we bless our children that they and their relationships should be as Ephraim and Manasseh, filled with understanding, with love and respect. Ephraim and Manasseh were able to emulate Yosef's Avar Achim and continue the legacy of their father and the legacy of their grandmother, of Rachel Imenu, to the next generation. And it is this legacy that we hope to internalize and to impart onto our children, to love and to care for one another, despite the many potential trappings of sinas chinam. And in this way, we'll be able to win over Esav and bring the geula b'mehera b'yameinu.